Good morning. Welcome to the Gathering Place podcast. I am Pastor Todd. This week, Pastor Byron is preaching a message to edify the church. I hope you are edified as well. And now, Pastor Byron.
Yeah. Great subject. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. We all need to get a connection with an Everlasting Father. You know, Jesus referred to earthly fathers, and he said the good ones, if he asked for a bread, would they give him a stone? But earthly fathers could never raise up to the level of our Heavenly Father. Never. And sometimes when we try to look back at our own lives and what we felt or thought of our earthly fathers, we could find some positives and some negatives. But our Heavenly Father is continually, always powerful. So, Father God, give me the words by your Holy Spirit to define who you are as our everlasting Father. Before we start this, Holy Spirit brought me back to my father. My father tried hard to be a good dad. He tried to support me. Sometimes I thought he was kind of tough on me being the middle boy, but trying to make me into a man of God. But something came to my remembrance of what happened to me as a child. What happened to me when, and I really don't remember how old I was. I'm going to guess maybe 7 or 8 years old. I went to bed only to hear my parents in an all-out fight yelling at each other. And it woke me up, and I remember getting out of bed and walking into their bedroom with tears running down from my eyes and saying, "Can't you just love each other?" And then walking into my bed and going back to sleep. Can't you just love each other? Well, a few days later, my mother came to me and said, "Your dad took off his ring and threw it at me. And Byron, I'm never going to give it back to him." And as a young boy that was going, they sent me to a Christian school. It was a Lutheran school. And I'm memorizing all these things about God. And here's what happened when my mom and dad argued. My dad threw the ring at my mother, and my mother said she'll never give it back. I took a Bible that I had from the Lutheran school, and in that Bible, it said, "Byron Barclay's God Love Me," and I pasted it shut. There's paste marks here. I pasted it shut. I put it down, and I began a 20-plus journey of walking away from the Father God that loved me. I spent 20-plus years walking away from the Father God that I thought as a young boy that loved me. And that journey took me to just some dark places. But after that 20-plus-year journey, I came in collision with the God that loves me, the everlasting Father. And I came before him and wept before him and gave my life to him and went to our farm and read the whole New Testament before I returned home, the prodigal coming back. And I walked into the house and told my dad, for the first time in many years, that the transforming power of my Heavenly Father gave me words to say to my dad unconditionally, Dad, I love you. And my dad, the best he could, said, I've always loved you. And when my parents, both of them, saw the transforming power of Jesus to change this rebel man into a man of God, I had another visit with my mother and said, Son, I'm giving your dad's ring back to him. You know, we all can have stories of our own families, our own parents, our own fathers and mothers, where they might have did the right thing or maybe they done the wrong thing. But when we come into relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, that changes everything. That changes everything. Because now our reference as a father is a loving father that sent his son to redeem you and me. Amen. So, as I ask the Holy Spirit, you know, where in Scripture can I pull out things to define you as the everlasting Father? And I was searching and searching all over the place, and after a while, it settled down as the week went on. The Holy Spirit brought me to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about a description of faith. But I want to say to you, that faith is placed on an ever, ever loving, everlasting Father. So let's take a look at it. Because in Hebrews, it sent part of that chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder to those who earnestly seek after him. As you and I seek out our Heavenly Father and our everlasting Father, who he is, who he really is, and have the confidence in who he really is, he says, there's a reward there. There's a reward there. There's something that's there for you and me as we seek out him and actually discover who he is. Who he is. Noah comes up in those scriptures, 120 years building an ark. Now, I wonder about you and me, as we're seeking out this loving, everlasting Father, if God has given us something to do, would we stay true for 120 years? What happens if what you're looking for and what I'm looking for doesn't come next week, doesn't come next month, doesn't come next year? But imagine what is written here, that as he had confidence in this everlasting Father that told him to build an ark, that him and his sons would be at building this ark for 120 years. Now, I want to mind you this, that during the 120 years, there was opposition every day, mocking and laughing and telling him, you're foolish, you're dumb, you are worthless. How can you ever do this? Imagine how long would you and I last? How long are you and I last when God gives us something? Gives us this everlasting Father that is full of love and compassion. How long would it take for you and me to wear out? God gives us an example of Noah who walked through that for 120 years. Never forget, God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. Then the writer of Hebrews goes on to Abraham. Abraham, basically a pagan, living in his land, prospering in his land, raising his herds and his flocks and all this. And all of a sudden, this everlasting Father, this amazing God out of heaven, comes and visits him and says, pack up. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Gather all your servants and go. And here's the interesting. I'm not telling you where you're going. Just pack up and leave. Imagine if we got those orders from headquarters. Grabbing your car and aimlessly drive somewhere because I'm sending you someplace. It reminds me of a funny thing that happened to me. One time, you know, I had so much on my mind, so much things that didn't belong there, and I was driving home from work. And you know what? I drove right by my house, our house in Atkinsic Road, and I was almost in Lake Zurich, and I woke up and said, wait, where am I? How? What in the world? My mind flipped, you know? And God wants us to focus on who he is, our everlasting Father, and don't let all the concerns and all the issues of life interfere with that. So he takes off, and he walks, and then he gets to this strange land. He never knew by sight that land would come back and be called Israel to this day. He just said it was a land of promise. He pitched his tents and lived there, not knowing the full plan of God. It reminds me, guys, we walk by faith, not by sight. And then when he had children, and we know the story, he had two children, Jacob and Isaac. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's back off. He had a son of promise, Isaac. He had a son of promise, Isaac. This everlasting Father, this ever-loving Father, keeps his word. Him and his wife Sarah were beyond the age of giving birth to any child. And yet God said, now's the time. And God never lies. And they gave birth to a child. Then Hebrews 11:16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. Abraham offered, you know what, we got to get a capture of who our Heavenly Father is. And when we catch that, I love that phrase, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Yeah. And that's part of that reward and that connection that God so desires to have us with our Heavenly Father, that we would say, you know, my God is so pleased in loving me that he is not ashamed to be called my God. Then Abraham, then Isaac, a young teenager, and then God calls him to do this everlasting father. To be a father, you have to have children. And all of us that are fathers know how much we love our children. And then Abraham was called to sacrifice his very own son of promise. Well, look about Hebrews says that when Abraham offered up Isaac, believing God would bring him back to life again. That's how much a connection that Abraham had with this everlasting father, this ever-loving father. And he said, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, the walk of faith doesn't always make sense. Remember that. And I'm sure Abraham went through the process. This doesn't make sense to me, but I am so confident in this everlasting Father. I'm so confident in this loving Father that even if I go through the whole process and sacrifice my son Isaac, he'll bring him back to life again. That's faith that needs to be developed in all of us. And then Isaac had twins. Isaac had twins. And by God's foreknowledge, he said the younger will serve the older. And he went, you know the story. I heard something not long ago that when I say you know the story, and there's, I'm hearing that half of evangelicals do not have a working knowledge of the Word of God. And that's what I love about TGP, and that's why we choose to bring the Word of God to you so all of us can rejoice in knowing the truth and knowing who God is and knowing the Word of God and what it says. Well, anyhow, it all happened, and one stole the birthright of the other one, and all of a sudden, Jacob got the blessing over Esau, and then when it came to that time when the blessing took place, Isaac blessed both of them. It wasn't to the same degree, but he would not leave Esau without a blessing. What was the fruit of that? What was that fruit of that of Isaac knew this loving father. He knew this loving father that certainly would not reject Esau. Certainly he would not reject Esau. He said, I can't give you the same blessing, but I'll give you a blessing, Esau. And then when time went on and those two sons of Isaac were in conflict with each other, who would ever dream that the loving Father, the heavenly, everlasting Father, would work in Esau's life, mild his heart, and restore love to his brother Jacob? That's the everlasting Father that we have. That's the Father that God wants to reveal to all of us, and have confidence in that Father that we know through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Verse 22, and by faith Joseph, when he was near the end, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave them instructions concerning the burial of his bones. You know, even as good as it was while Joseph was there, God was revealing this everlasting Father, this ever-loving Father was declaring to Joseph, who now at this time was the prince of Egypt, that things were going to change. And I want to let you know, and I'll speak forth a prophetic word, even in my dying days, and say, remember my bones, because we as a people will not stay here forever. If the Israelites would have only brought that word up to them for all the years they were in bondage, it would have brought light into their darkness. You know, after all, you know, they didn't, when Moses came back, they didn't even recognize it then that Joseph declared they would not remain in bondage. What an everlasting Father. What an ever-loving Father. Verse 23, and Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. We know the story, right? They saw something prophetic in their little boy Moses. And they hid him as long as they could. And then they made a little basket floating on the river, not knowing that he was headed to become prince of Egypt. Because that was an everlasting, ever-loving Father making a provision to a parent that saw potential in their son that would eventually lead a whole nation out of bondage. It reminds us, we always need to be seeking God. Even as a grandparent with my grandchildren, seeking God to see the potential in my children and my grandchildren. And asking God to reveal that and then pray into that and see that. Yeah, I got one grandson, I think he's going to be a worship leader. Oh, he likes pounding on things. But what's interesting here about Moses' parents in their confidence in the everlasting Father, the ever-loving Father, they were not afraid. We've heard enough of that testimony this morning. No matter where nation goes politically, our place in knowing our Heavenly Father, not to live in fear. They were not afraid of the King. Not afraid. Unafraid. My wife, as she shared, one word from somebody from this church that said, you don't have to be afraid, brought life into her life. We do not follow a God where we have a spirit of fear, but we live in a God with power, love, and a sound mind. Verse 25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. Talking about Moses. He came to that place. He came to that place. Anything and everything was offered to him as Prince of Egypt. He could do anything he wanted. But you know what? This whole idea of doing anything you want is not always profitable. So he came to Moses when he was about 40 years old, came to this place where he said, you know what? All the opportunities were there, but I'd rather please God than please my flesh. And when it came to that place where he made that decision that I serve an everlasting Father, a ever-loving God. I serve him. And you know what? even though all the opportunities are open to me, I choose. I choose to follow God rather than enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin, because they're not lasting. What our Father gives us is lasting. That launched him in to 40 years of the ever-loving, everlasting Father nurturing him and developing him from a prince of Egypt to a shepherd to lead a nation out of bondage. Verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now, just think about it on a practical, just trying to think about it practically. Go in a house, take a lamb, spread blood over the doorposts, and you'll be safe. That was the very plan of God to bring you and me into the relationship with the everlasting Father and the ever-loving Father, because it spoke forward to the Son of God shedding his blood so that we can have a relationship and begin our journey to know this everlasting Father. Verse 29, and the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. A faith in an everlasting Father. Have you ever been backed up in a position where you think there's no way out? When you're in that place, I want you to remind yourselves of a God that even told Moses, who took the staff and the Red Sea open and they got into the Promised Land, that I want you to remind yourselves that when we in that place where we don't see a way out, this loving God, when Moses started crying to him, he said, quit crying and start acting. Act out this wonderful salvation that we have and this commitment that our Heavenly Father has on our lives, because of the Son, Jesus Christ, shedding his blood for our behalf. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around for 7 days. Didn't seem like a kind of a very cool battle plan. Didn't seem like the movies that we see. But there was an understanding by Joshua that if this everlasting Father said to do it, he has a better plan than I do. Is he our everlasting Father? Is he the architect of your life and my life? If he is, there ain't nothing we wouldn't do, because he said it. March around 7 days. And the walls came down. Verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was was not killed with those who were disobedient. I want to let you know, when Rahab hid the spies, her name was Prostitute Rahab. It became Spared and Delivered Rahab. You know, whatever you and I, if we have some thoughts about ourselves that are not correct, that's not your name. Your name and my name are sons and daughters of the Most High. And I was studying through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in preparation for what you're hearing this morning. What I was amazed at, what drew my attention, is how much John talked about the everlasting Father, the ever-loving Father, way more than Matthew, Mark, Luke. And as I was going through those scriptures and trying to say, man, John, who's, by the way, he declared himself, I'm the one Jesus loved. You're the one Jesus loved. I'm the one that Jesus loved. It's very important that we acknowledge we are loved by the Almighty. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty. And if we want to make that connection, want to make that connection with the Father, this everlasting Father, and I add in there ever-loving Father, John, in the book of John, John gives us some insight into that. And also, I pulled one out of Luke. God gave us some insight into that. That in John, it says, John 10:30, it says, I and the Father are one. In John chapter 14, and Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? So if we're going to walk in our life and do our life together, and we need to acknowledge and understand how much the Father loves us, maybe it would be a good idea also to have that connection with Jesus, who said, he and the Father are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. See how Jesus walked out and met people, how Jesus met people that were pushed aside, and he welcomed them in. How Jesus, when he found a guy that was a tax collector, very hated by the fellow Jewish people, and he said, hey, Nicodemus, I want to have dinner in your house. See how Jesus walked amongst people that had bad reputations and gave them new life. Look at Jesus, and you'll find out as we have the beautiful connection here in Scripture that we can look at Jesus and find how loving our Father is, Heavenly Father is, and how Jesus, throughout his ministry, was looking to the day that he would sacrifice himself willingly so that we can have a connection with our everlasting, ever-loving Father. Now in closing, there's a verse out of Luke chapter 6, 35, that would give us a little piece of the puzzle on our responsibility to others, knowing this everlasting, ever-loving Father. It says in Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be the children of the Most High. Here's the key. Here's the key. How are we going to do good things to the people that disappointed us the most? You're going to have to connect on all who your Heavenly Father is. And He said it right here, Jesus. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So, those on Zoom and those of us are here, if we're struggling with loving and forgiving people that hurt us the most, I want you and me to take a look at those people that we're struggling with, relationship with, and see through the eyes of the Father that Jesus is saying, I love them. I love them. If in fact, that's true, if God loves them, shouldn't I? Shouldn't I? With all their defects and all the disappointments, I am called as a believer in Jesus Christ, getting to know this ever-loving, everlasting Father, to love those who disappointed me the most. You see, my dad was a disappointment to me. And I saw my mother unwilling to forgive him, say, I'll never give his ring back. But there was a day, 20-some years later, I was carrying that hurt, carrying that bitterness, carrying that unforgiveness that was leading me to a life in a dark place. But God opened his light to me and unwrapped this Bible, because in the last page that I closed, it says, God love me, and I love God. He opened that up that I could forgive my dad and mom for the hurts. I could forgive them and love them. And God took me to that place very quickly where I could say, not by my own strength, but Dad, I love you. Because I know the God, I know him now, and I love him very much, that is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Father God, bless this word. Father God, that we might know who you are, know your great, amazing love towards us. Father God, that we would always be reminded through Scripture of your unfailing love to those who love you. And Father God, raise up in this church an increased level of our love for you, Father, that the windows of heaven will be open to us, the signs, wonders, and miracles, because you are the God that rewards all those who diligently seek after you. Amen? Amen. And our worship leaders, where are they? It's time to worship our God. Amen? Thank you. Hey, bro.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.